This week on the Time Bat Show,
people were like, oh, you need it to be your mailman and your garbage man. I was like, how do I do that? Like, what is the even way to do this? Like, do I leave a 20 in my garbage for them to like open up and be like, thanks, I got it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 155. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have a hell of a show today, don't we, Bat Snacks?
We're getting ready for the best show ever today.
Second week of the new decade. Have you gotten used to being part of a new decade yet?
I think I signed my rent check 2019.
Yes! Good job.
And I don't know if my landlord has my new cell phone number, so he, like, can't get a hold of me to tell me.
Yes. So you might just be kicked out of your apartment any day.
I don't know. Every day when I come home, I'm just hoping there isn't a piece of paper in my door.
Do you have like that like minute anxiety every time you come home?
Yes.
Like you don't think about it until like you park and then you like walk up and you're like, oh my. I hope it's not there.
There could be a piece of paper.
Oh, I love stupid anxiety like that. Yeah. I'm sure it's fine because you probably would have heard something by now, right?
Yeah, like surely he would have done something.
I mean,
like, even though he can't do anything, like, okay, so it's actually pretty bad because I switched jobs, so he doesn't have my current work number. I switched phones, he doesn't have my current cell phone number.
So he has no way of reaching out to you in any way, no, unless none. Except for coming to your door, literally, and knocking on it.
But I work all day.
Right. He could leave a note. I think he would leave a note. He wouldn't just randomly be like, well, you were late. Sorry, you're done. And also, like, it's not like you didn't pay him. It's just he signed your check wrong. Yeah. So, like, I feel like he would have the good faith of being like, or she, I don't know. With good faith of being like, you know, okay, it's fine. And also, yeah. I don't think it matters if you dated it wrong.
I don't think it does. You know, I put, I mean, even if I dated it January, it's like, so what? He got the check last year, you know, cash it anyway. Doesn't matter. I did walk up to my door like earlier this week though, and there was a piece of paper and there, like, and I was like, I was like, oh no, my life is over. Like, it was just starting to get good. And now like, oh no, he's going to kick me out. He's going to steal my TV. Like,
I love how this is all due to a misplaced digit. You just said 19 instead of 20. That's like it. That's all you did.
Yeah, and it was a pizza ad.
It was a pizza. And this whole thing snowballed from this one thing.
Yeah.
Where did you, like, did it immediately jump to I'm going to get kicked out of my apartment? Or did you, like, stew on it for a couple days and be like, I think I put 19. Uh-oh.
Like, I think it built every day after I delivered my check, and I just don't like dealing with stuff, so I'm just going to leave it.
You just pretend that it didn't exist?
Yeah.
This reminds me of a funny thing that's happening to me right now, because I don't know about you, but it sounds like this scenario in your head. You don't really have anything anxiety right now because your work's going well and your life's going pretty good. So you're like inventing this weird problem that probably doesn't exist in any way.
Yeah.
But you're like inventing it. But it reminds me of something that I'm currently experiencing because like I don't have really a lot of anxiety right now either in regards to like my work or my like career or my home or my relationships or anything. Like everything's going pretty well. Except one thing that I'm, like, obsessively, like, thinking about. So, like, I had to renew my license, my driver's license.
Okay.
Because it expired on my birthday, January 1st. And I renewed it on the internet, like, in December 3rd. And I have not received it in the mail yet. So I was like, oh, no, this is bad. Like, it's expired. I got, like, a slip that says I get an extension. But, like, it's still bad. And I'm like, oh, like, I need to renew it or whatever. So, like, I emailed them, and they were like, oh, we'll just send you a new one. Like, it's not a big deal. We're going to send you one, and it'll be there in 2 weeks. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, problem resolved. It's all good. It probably just got lost in the mail in, like, the December, you know, Christmas shuffle or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I stopped thinking about it. But then my brother mailed me a birthday gift, and I never got it. Like, it must have got lost in the mail. And then yesterday, I ordered something on Amazon, and Amazon texted me and said UPS could not complete your delivery. And all of a sudden, my brain decided my address has dropped off the face of the earth. Like, I can no longer receive mail. Something has happened to my address that is no longer valid. And I just started, like, panicking about that. And I've been stressing about it for, like, 3 days now. So, yeah!
I think I know how to... I had this happen before.
Really?
If you call the post office, usually it's... I mean, what it was for me is they just assumed no one lived at my apartment anymore for some reason. Uh-huh. I didn't change my address or anything. They were just like, oh, I guess no one lives there for some reason.
I'm pretty sure I'm just being crazy because I'm getting other mail, no problem.
Oh, yeah. You're just being crazy. I'm sorry.
I'm just like, I just didn't receive three things. And there are three kind of important things, right? But, like, I was like, well, does that mean something happened with my address that's, like... Because I'm not going to say my address on the program, but basically there's a discrepancy with drive versus no drive. Like, my address is two words followed by drive. And yes. On Google, it combines those two words into one word and drops the drive. But okay. In the U.S. Post Office, it uses the two words together and then adds drive. Like, that's the actual address. So, like... There's a discrepancy about what, like, Google Maps thinks my address is versus what the post office actually thinks my address is. So this leads me to panic more, obviously, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not in Google, then you might as well not
exactly.
have an address, you know.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
So, like, that's just how it is, how it's been for years since I've lived here. But yeah. I haven't really had any missing mails till now. And now I'm like, oh, maybe it's finally happened. Like,
you know, there's a third option for what it could be.
Okay.
Someone could be stealing your mail.
That's true. That's true.
Like, you could have a crazy stalker.
But here's the weird thing about that, though, because the package, sure, someone could have... No, the package... Package couldn't have been stolen because UPS texted me and said they couldn't deliver it. So I think they would let me know if someone stole it. The other two things should have been in the mailbox... And I have, like, a locked mailbox, so...
Oh, okay.
I don't think someone could have stolen that, unless it's the mailman. Or unless they, like, pried it open or something. In which case, why would they steal my driver's license? I mean, maybe...
Did you wrong the UPS man? Have you, like, angered him?
Am I supposed to tip him or something? I don't know. So I heard over the Christmas break that you're supposed to tip your mailman. Have you ever heard
that?
I don't know.
That's impossible. I'm not there when he comes.
I know. I literally heard this over Christmas break. People were like, oh, you need to tip your mailman and your garbage man. I was like, how do I do that? Like, what is the even way to do this? Like, do I leave a 20 in my garbage for them to, like, open up and be like, thanks, I got it. Like, what do I do?
I wonder if there are people that, like, leave money in their garbage, thinking the garbage man will get it somehow, and he just throws it away every week.
Maybe to tip your mailman, you know, like, the outgoing mail slot in, like, a post box? Maybe, because I have one of those, maybe I just put it in there, like, a 20 in there, and then he's like, okay, cool, with, like, a little note. And he's like, oh, cool, got it, you know. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do.
I hope not. I've never tipped
my
mailman.
I've never done that either, but I heard it from two different people over Christmas holiday that you're supposed to tip your mailman and your garbage man, which honestly would explain a lot of things about my garbage service. Because every time I come home, garbage day is like Wednesday, and every time I come home, I have a recycling bin and a garbage bin, and everyone else's is like kind of nicely placed back on the curb, and mine are always like strewn about the street, and one is like toppled over, and my garbage can literally has like a big like rip in the back of it, like they manhandled it like really hardcore one day, and it's just like messed up. And the city owns those. I rent them, you know, so they're gonna come at me for that at the end of the day. But
yeah,
maybe it's because I haven't tipped them well enough.
That's probably what it is.
And they're like, God damn it, this guy has lived here 5 years. He's never tipped us a single cent, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I bet this is real. I bet you're supposed to tip these people. And I just, no one told me that.
No, me neither. There's so many things that they don't tell you. I'm 32 years old and I never knew this, you know?
Oh, man.
We need to get to the bottom of this. I think if our listeners tip your mailman or your garbage man, please let us know. Tweet at us at TimeBetsHow. Or email us. No, don't email us. We won't check it. Just tweet at us at TimeBetsHow. I'm really curious if this is like a thing or not. I'm going to probably Google it after the show. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's an odd... Like, who else are you supposed to tip? If like, you tip your mailman and your garbage man, like, are there other people you're supposed to be tipping that I'm not aware of? Because the only people I tip in my life, I'll tell you, are restaurant staff and when I get a haircut, which doesn't Same. Happen very often. And I want to say, like, maybe a couple other things that I can't think of, but it's, like, very personal service stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, personal service is what I tip. And that's it. I don't tip anybody else.
Yeah, pretty much I tip if there's a tip space on the receipt. That's the only
Which places is only at restaurants, really.
Or the hairdresser.
Or the hairdresser, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't get a receipt from the mailman, so maybe...
Oh, you don't get a receipt from the mailman?
No, there's not, like, a receipt.
Do you tip at hotels?
I know you're supposed to, but no.
Me neither. I don't. So, so I was in a hotel because I was in Las Vegas over the week. You know, yeah. We talked about this last time. I was there for 4 days, and at the end of the thing, I was like, "Oh shit, I need to tip these people," but I don't know how much to tip. And it's like a nice hotel. I stayed at the MGM Grand, which is like a nice hotel in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I was like, "How much am I supposed to tip?" So I look it up on the internet, and they're like, tip every day because the wait staff or the cleaning staff changes every day. And I was like, well, I screwed that up, you know?
Yeah.
So what I did, and it told, like, tip, like, $5 a day. And I was like, that's a lot of money. So I just tipped $5 for the final day. And I also had, like, 17 cents, so I just left that on the counter.
I mean, sure. That was good that you did that. You did your best.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they took it and they're like, son of a bitch, this asshole. Giving us, like, a shitty tip. And then my wife, like, bless her heart, she didn't even know she was being passive-aggressive or anything. Like, she puts the tip in a pile and writes a note that says thanks with, like, a heart at the end of it. So it, like, looks like I'm being, like, really stupidly mean to them on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, thanks! Here's $5.17, you know?
And some coins.
Like, no. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. You're also supposed to tip those people when you go to the airport that hold your bags. You know, like, when you get on, like, the trolley or the bus to get to the parking lot. You're supposed to tip those people, apparently.
You're supposed to tip the bus driver to
I never tip them. They always,
I've never done that.
Because, you know how, when you go to the airport, do you park and then they, like, shuttle you to the actual airport? Is that how your airport works?
Yeah, I park economy.
Yeah, and then they shuttle you over, right? And notice that the guy or girl that's driving, they'll always try to grab your bags and help them down. They're doing that because they want a tip. And so I always try to grab my bag first so that I don't feel guilty about having not tipped them because I never tipped them.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I'm parking in economy is because I don't want to pay more money, you know?
Exactly! And it's like, I looked it up and it was like, give them like $3. I was like, $3? Like, that's a lot! They're doing their job here!
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably sound like a miser right now, but what are you going to do? There's probably so many other typical places that we don't even realize.
Yeah. We've just been going like Mr. Pink on our garbage guy for like the past 30 years.
And they've been ruining my garbage can like so much. But it's a piece of work. I'm going to take a picture of my garbage can and upload it to our Twitter because it's funny how messed up it is. Like, it's just, they throw it around. They manhandle it every single day.
They've probably run it over, you know.
They've probably run it over on purpose before. They're just like, screw this guy. Never tipped us once ever. But what are you going to do? How's your week been going? Good?
My week has been going good, yeah.
Yeah. Can we get an update on the marathon status?
We can. So we're getting close now. We're 3 weeks away.
Wow, you're getting really close. What day's the marathon?
It's February 9th.
Ooh, that's really close.
The race starts at 7:30 a.m. I got the email with the instructions on it this week. Mm-hmm. There's more to it than I thought.
What do you mean there's more to it?
There's more expected of me than just running.
What else do you have to do?
There's an athlete's village I have to go to.
Why do you have to go to it?
I think you have to check in or something.
So it's like the Olympics.
That's what I thought. Like, that's, it's kind of cool. Village, right?
Honestly, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was so excited about that. It's like, wait, I'm invited to the athlete's village?
Let me get this straight. You paid to do this marathon, right?
It was not a small amount of money. How much was it? It was $135.
Okay. So, I mean, that's cool that you get an extra thing than just running, right? They probably have like a buffet or something. Maybe not probably after the run, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I can get there at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. and start doing whatever is in the athlete's village. I have no idea what's there.
Probably have like a low-cal smoothie or something.
You know? They said there's like food and coffee or whatever, but that's also where you get your shirt, and there's an equipment check, and you get your number that you pin on your shirt.
Yeah, sounds so cool.
I'm so excited about it.
And then you socialize with the other runners.
Yeah.
Like a meet and greet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And then afterwards, they probably have like another little, I mean, I don't know what they do, but is there something afterwards? Like a good job, everyone. We did it thing.
Yeah. The finish line is the same as the starting place. Mm-hmm. So you do your thing and you wind up in the same place. And then there's a big party afterwards. And apparently everybody like cheers for you when you cross the
finish line. A big party. See, that's fun.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of cool.
I think there's free White Claw.
Oh, see, now that'll get me to do the run now. Oh, God, White Claw. So good. It's everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
I would prefer beer, but, you know, I'll drink a White Claw. Why not?
They're good. Have you tried one yet?
I've sipped a little and I spit it out.
Really? Because I was on about how good it was. And then, what kind did you try? Like, what flavor?
There was, I think it was raspberry or something.
That's like the worst one. I mean, lime and raspberry are pretty bad. The best one is like mango and some other like tropical fruit. I forget what it was. Mango and like, I don't remember. Not raspberry though. The berry ones are not that good. Like the like orange adjacent ones are the best ones.
You know what I mean. It's the same with LaCroix. Like, the berry LaCroix are the worst by far.
The citrusy ones are the best.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Anyway, that's my update. It's in 3 weeks, and I don't know. It's like my sole focus in life right now, right. So
that's like your one thing. That's like your big project for 2020.
That's my thing, yeah.
So let me ask you something. I know, I mean, you're the kind of person that gets really obsessed with, like, one thing and focuses on it completely or whatever. And that's fine. That's good. I think that's a good personality trait to have because people are very flighty these days.
There are negative parts of that kind of personality.
There are. And here's one of them. When you finish this marathon and you're on the high of, like, oh, I finished it. Because I think I'm 100% you're going to finish it at this point. You've been training. You've got it in the bag. You celebrate in the athlete's village, da-da-da-da-da. You're like, yes, that was awesome. Next day rolls around. What now? You know, what's next? You see what I mean?
Yeah, next is hopefully not destroy myself.
Well, you see what I mean? Like, are you going to have another, like, this is a great goal for 2020, but, like, you've got 10 months after this is finished.
Yeah.
To do something else. I mean, you don't have to do anything, really. I mean, I'm not one to talk. I have zero goals right now. So, you know, like, you're way ahead of me. But, like, at the same time. You see what I'm saying?
There is more to this goal than just this marathon.
Yeah. So, are you going to be marathon guy after this? Like, are you going to train for another one, do you think?
I'm going to start immediately afterward training for not a regular marathon. I want to do an at-night trail run.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I want to run through the night. This is like the idea I have. Yeah. I want to run through the trail at night, kind of alone, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to like run so far that I start hallucinating. Because I heard that happens when you run like 20 miles at night. Yeah, you like have weird visions.
How long
stuff,
is the marathon again? It's like 23 miles or something?
26.4.
So is this night run a full marathon? Like it's 26 or whatever?
I mean, they have them up to like 100 miles. They have.
Yeah, but this night one you're talking about is another like marathon length one or whatever.
I haven't picked one out yet, but that idea is the one that I'm going to find one that does that. That sounds so cool. Yeah.
Are you allowed to listen to music while you're on the marathon? Or no?
You can. I'm not going to for this one, but the night run I probably would.
Yeah, because I've got some. If I ran a marathon at night, I would curate a very specific night run playlist.
Can we talk about choices just like real fast? Because I have, sure. I know already what I would choose.
What would you choose?
So first album is Prophecies by Philip Glass.
Ooh, Philip Glass is good night run music right there. Yeah, for sure.
It's very repetitive and existential. Oh, yeah. And like brooding. And
the repetitive. That's what I'm getting at. Like the repetitive existential stuff would be.
That's
like
what you need.
Good night run music, you know, really good night run music. You could do some like, I don't want to go into soundtracks, but like if you needed to, you could do some like Blade Runner Evangelist stuff because that's probably pretty good night running music, you know.
Silent Hill 4 would be a great one.
There's this 23-minute song that I really like by All Them, which is called Effervescent, and it's probably my favorite night driving song. So it's probably a good night running song too. It's a very long, existentially repetitive song. So I'll send you that one too. And then there's this other one. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
There's this jazz song, just jazz album by this weird ethnomusicologist, and it's called Bitter Funeral Beer. And it's, like, extremely repetitive, like, tribal jazz.
That sounds, like, exactly what I run to.
But it's, like, it would be really good for hallucinating while running at night, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any
There's this other Japanese artist called Grimm, and he does, like, noise and industrial.
Oh, that sounds good. Is it repetitive, though?
It's... Some parts of it are, but it's like very harsh, noisy things. Makes you like freak out.
See, we already have this like playlist, right?
Yeah, we had the same exact idea too, just repetitive existential.
Oh, yeah. It has to be like repetitive, brooding, existential. Like, not sad, but like you really feel it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you feel it. How long does a marathon take?
It's going to take me. I don't know this yet, but probably like 4.5-5 hours.
That's a pretty significant chunk of time.
Yeah.
Do you
if I like hurt myself, it'll take longer. Right. But
that's the average time though for like a first like a first timer runner or whatever.
Yeah, average time for first I read was like about 4:30 for a man my age.
But now after you do it a few times, you can probably cut your time down significantly, right?
Yeah. What's nice too is they have pacers, like people that intentionally run one speed that you can pace yourself with.
Oh.
So that you don't overdo it.
So like you know these people are going to be done in 4 hours and 30 minutes or whatever.
At exactly this time.
So you're like if I run at this speed, I'll be good, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you're going to try to keep up with one of them then?
Probably. I think I'm going to maybe do the first half with a pacer and then just kind of do my own thing in the
unload
last half.
Unload for the next part. That's cool. Yeah,
that's my plan.
I'm very excited for your marathon. Is it on a Saturday?
It's a Sunday.
Sunday. Cool. Very cool. All right. You want to get into your first trivia question?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Your first trivia questions category is architecture. Which I spelled very poorly in my notes, by the way. But architecture, what lifeline would you like?
I would like to do 50-50.
50-50, okay. What is the space between windows called? So, between the windows of a building.
No idea.
What is the space between windows called? Is it A, infantilization? Is it B, interfenestration? Is it C, intercontinental? Or is it D, intercorsuvius?
All right. I'm definitely going to use my 50-50 on this.
You're just doing straight 50-50?
Yeah.
Okay. It's either interfenestration or intercorsuvius.
So it's either the interfenestration between the windows or the intercorsuvius
yes.
area.
Yes.
I need to channel my what's that guy's name from the Fountainhead? I need to channel him.
That guy. That guy.
I think his name's Ed or something. I don't
it's
remember.
Not Ed.
It isn't Ed.
The architect guy. I've never read that book, and I never will. It's like a bajillion pages long.
It's so stupid. I hate that book.
And yet you know about the architect's man.
I also, like, respect the hell out of it because of the effect it has on, like, people I hate. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's so long.
No, there's, like, a specific kind of person that gets obsessed with that book.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They're the exact kind of person that I just
don't like.
Can't.
I think a lot of books do that. And, like, annoying thing about me is, like, even if a book is good, if the people that like it are really annoying, I, like, hate the book. I'm like, this book is stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's the case of that. I mean, I've never read the book. I don't even know. So
you don't need to. I can tell you that it's not good.
I'm good. So anyway, is it interfenestration or intercorsuvius? You need to channel Ed from the Fountainhead.
Yeah. It's I think it's intercorsuvius. Final answer.
Why is that? Can you give me some logic for this?
Because it sounds corsuvial.
Okay, yeah.
Which is.
Okay.
Which is nothing, but.
So intercorsuvius, final answer.
Yes.
That is incorrect.
All right.
It's actually interfenestration. Fun fact, I made up all these other words, so there you go.
Infantilization is a real word.
Oh, well, I didn't make that up. Apparently that was subconscious. Intercorsuvius, I made up because it sounded very sexual, and I thought you would know that it wasn't that, but...
Maybe that's why I gravitated to that. I don't know.
You had like a subconscious gravitation towards intercorsuvius.
It does sound like intercourse.
It sounds like a... What?
I didn't even make that connection. It sounds exactly like intercourse.
Yeah, it starts with the exact same word, intercorsuvius. It sounds like a Greek tragedy or something like that. You know, like a play, intercorsuvius. I am intercorsuvius, and I'm
Ed.
Yes, exactly. He's like the main character of a Greek tragedy. Speaking of Greek tragedies, what a segue this is. The Academy Awards revealed their nominations like a couple days ago. I don't know if you care in any way about that, but. Do you? Have you even looked? Do you even know?
I haven't looked, but I mean, it interests me. I like the Oscars.
What do you... Do you watch a lot of movies? Probably not. Let me just go for the Best Picture, and we'll just see if you've seen any of these at all. How about that?
Okay.
All right, let me find it. This is taking a long time. Best Motion Picture of the Year. Okay, call it out if you've seen any of these. Ford versus Ferrari. I'm assuming that.
Saw it.
You really did?
I really did.
Was it good?
No.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah. I sent you like 6 pages of rants.
Oh, yes.
About
that was the driving movie that you hated. Wow. That was nominated for Best Picture then. That's
wild.
It wasn't. The Irishman. Have you seen that?
No.
It's on Netflix. I saw it on Friday. It's 3.5 hours long. It's a really long movie. It's good, though. Jojo Rabbit. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's like a comedy about Nazis. Joker.
Saw it.
I saw it, too. You saw it recently, right?
Joker. Yeah, last night.
All right, we need to talk about that. I forget to done with this one. Little Women. Have not seen it.
Isn't that an old movie?
They remade it, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it, though. Marriage Story.
Nope.
I haven't seen that. 1917. Nope.
Nope.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Nope. But
I
want
to. You haven't seen that yet? It's good. Mm-mm. You like Quentin Tarantino, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You should see that. Parasite. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's Ooh, movie of the year.
That's a good movie right there.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it good?
That was a wild movie. I didn't know
Holy
you saw that.
Holy shit, that movie
when
was good.
When did you see that?
I saw it. Okay. I got it early through legal means.
Oh, right. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah. It was on Netflix early. It was, like, leaked or something. That's okay. When I saw it. Yeah.
It was good. that movie took a turn. I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody, but that movie took a turn. You know what I mean? Like, it started as like a comedy drama kind of deal, and then it just it goes whole hog at the end.
Yeah, it gets weird. It made me feel so weird. But the beginning, I don't know. It was so good. I just love that movie so much.
Very good.
Because of the first half, I told my parents, including my mom, to watch it. My mom does not like movies like the last half of this movie.
But she likes the first half of the
movie. But I knew she would like get sucked into like the family comedy at the beginning. Because
it's
and then
good. It's very endearing in the beginning. And then it just gets you.
And then it gets you.
Yeah, I really liked how like it kind of turned on a dime of like tone in like a good way. And it was just like, whoa.
And it kept going. Like, once it turned, it turned fast, and it just kept turning.
And it wasn't like, okay, it wasn't like a twist where it's like, oh, this is the kind of movie it is, and then it just ended. It was like, oh, my God, and then it just kept going, and you're like, ah! And it was like,
I don't feel good. Like, what am I watching?
Oh, you're like on a roller coaster. But, yeah, it was really good. So you would say that's your movie of the year. I mean, you've only seen, like, two of these, but that's your movie of the year, probably.
Yeah, it has to be.
So you saw Joker. I guess you saw Ford vs. Ferrari, too, but that's... Meh. So Joker has been out long enough that I'm completely fine spoiling the whole movie on this podcast. Parasite, I'm not going to spoil, because it's a movie, if you haven't seen it, it's worth just going in completely blind to what it's about, I think, and just watching it, you know?
For sure.
But Joker, I mean, everybody knows it's about the Joker, right? And how he goes crazy and does crazy things. But how did you like Joker? Tell me. Give me your honest review. From a big fan of the Joker. I know you're like the biggest fan of the Joker that I know. Well, you're tied with someone else. But still, like, you are a big fan of the Joker and Batman in general, I feel like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I love Batman. I love the Joker.
Right. So, having said that, how did you feel about the movie?
I liked parts of it, but as a whole, I didn't really enjoy it that much.
Why?
Like,
what was your take on it, you know?
My take? It made me think a lot of thoughts, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, I think the purpose of the movie is it's kind of like the outsider, the violent outsider fantasy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, like, the shooter, the guy that, you know, assassinates someone... It plays up this really edgy fantasy. So in the movie, the Joker, he kills two Wall Street guys, and they represent, like, you know, the bougie people that control society.
Yeah, on a subway or whatever, right?
Yeah, he kills them, and after he kills them, everybody in the street gets super empowered by these killings, and it creates riots and, you know, stuff like that. And that's like every shooter's wildest fantasy. That's like, I'm going to run in, kill these people that I'm irrationally angry at, and then everybody will celebrate me.
People are just going to put me on this pedestal and, like, riot.
I'll get celebrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like a kind of a power fantasy thing for those kind of people.
Yeah, it's like a superhero movie for super
bad people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good way to interpret it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
My problem with it is if you made that movie without superheroes in it, it would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a movie that needs to be made. It's super edgy, and a lot of people think about it, and it's, like, super taboo and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite scenes in The Joker were the weird scenes where he's, like, bathing his mom, and he's, like, you know... He's fantasizing himself being on this show, and it's this really uncomfortable fantasy. It's like, why would you think that?
It's really weird. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you saying it was held down by being a Joker movie, kind of.
Yeah, it didn't need to be about superheroes. And I don't think the Joker is a mentally ill superhero character.
You don't.
That's not how I think of him. No.
So, like, you're saying that it, like, used the Joker name to tell a story that was different from the Joker. And it was trying to be, like, more of a serious drama movie, which you think it would have been more effective if the Joker... It wasn't a movie about the Joker. It was just a movie about a mentally ill person.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think it's cowardly that they tried to hide behind the Joker to tell this story. Like, yeah. I don't think anyone would make that movie if it wasn't, if it didn't have a comic
book. I think going into the movie, you have this expectation that's like, oh, Joker's really fucked up. Like, he's going to do some fucked up shit. So, like, when you see it, you have less, it has less of an impact on you.
Yeah.
Because you know that it's going to go down. But if this movie was just about a mentally ill guy and you didn't really know what he was capable of, and then he kills these people on the subway and all this stuff, it would be much more surprising, and it would also be kind of more, like, impactful, because then it's not, this isn't a, it's like, it's still a fictional story, but it's not a comic book story anymore, right? It's like,
yeah,
this could be a real person, you know?
You don't, I mean, you expect the Joker to kill people. It's not really a big deal when he does it. But if some struggling, you know, mistreated dude who had a screwed up childhood just goes and kills people, it's like, ooh, that was weird. And then the movie, like, super celebrates him. That would make, that would drive people nuts, I guarantee it. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. Like, I didn't like it as a Joker movie. I didn't like it as a comic book movie. I thought it was an interesting, like, character study movie. But, like, I thought the fact that it was, like, in the DC universe was just, like, kind of stupid. Like, not necessary. But I think the thing is, would anyone have seen that movie if it wasn't a Joker movie? You know what I mean? Like, and I know you would have, but I don't think many people would have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it made a lot of money, and it's because people knew that going into it, it was going to be fucked up, and people... And he was going to be, like, a mentally deranged person in the movie. And people were ready for that. And if it was a movie that didn't have a character like that, and people... Or, well, had a character like that wasn't already famous, people would go into it and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. And, you know, it would probably have, like, bad word of mouth almost because...
Oh, yeah. People would hate it.
Yeah. So, it's weird. And now it's nominated for a lot of things. Like, it's nominated for Best Picture... Best Actor, a bunch of things. Don't know if it's super deserving of those. I think it was a well-made movie, but something felt off about it for sure. And I think it has to do with the DC, like, being a superhero movie in a way, you know.
Yeah, I really liked Joaquin Phoenix in it. He was great.
Yeah,
he was really good.
He's great in everything. But yeah, he was really good in that. I think he was nominated for Best. Actor or whatever in that, so
yeah, that's deserved probably. I don't know about Best Picture, like, it can't compete with Parasite.
Yeah, but yeah,
something I would have changed about it, so you know how, yeah, about Joker, you know, one of his fantasies is being on the show and he fantasizes about it and it winds up like it didn't actually happen.
That was 100% my favorite part of the movie, the fantasy.
That was really good. I also liked how he fantasized about having a girlfriend, and it turns out that's not real. Mm-hmm. What would have been really cool is if all of the riot scenes, it turns out those were fantasies too, that no one actually celebrated him doing those, you know, horrible killings.
That would have been interesting. Because, like, it got to a point where you, like, almost don't believe it. Like, this isn't, you know, this is too much.
This would never happen. Like, you know?
Maybe some people would celebrate it, but it wouldn't be so giant and big. But yeah, that would have been interesting. But I don't know, the Oscars, man. It's interesting that it's been nominated so much. It really resonated with people, I guess. I don't know if I trust the people that it resonated with necessarily, but it was a movie.
It was a movie for sure.
What I hated about it was, this is the stupidest part of the movie. There's like a riot at the end of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. After Joker, spoiler alert, I mean, we've been spoiling the movie. He goes on the show he's wanted to go on the whole movie to be a comedian. And he shoots the host, right? Like, right in the face. Remember that? And then right after that, there's like a giant riot in the city. And it's all these people with Joker masks on, like, trying to rise up against the, you know, I don't know what the hell you want to call it. The people in power of the city or whatever. And there's a scene where this, like, gangster guy goes into an alley. And then, like, you see it flashes to, like, this family sitting down watching, like, an opera or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God, please don't do this. And then the little boy is like, Daddy, I want to leave. And he's like, oh, fine, let's go. And they're like, walk out of the theater. And instead of going out the front, for some reason, they decide to go back out in the alley for who God knows why, in this dark alley. And then this guy is like, hey, put your hands up. And then the dad tries to do something stupid, and he shoots him, and then he shoots the mom. And then the kid is there, and you're like, God damn it, it's Batman. This little Batman again. And then there's a point where he, like, asks his name or something. Like, he literally says Bruce Wayne for some reason. I don't know why. Doesn't he?
Yeah. No, he does. Like, he says his name when the Joker visits Wayne Mansion, because... Oh, yes. They tried at the beginning to make it look like Batman's dad and
the part out of my mind. Yeah. I forgot there's an earlier part where the Joker goes to Wayne Manor and
he thinks Batman's dad is his dad.
And he like grabs Bruce by the collar from like the behind a gate or something.
Yeah.
Ugh, that whole subplot was so dumb. Like, that was stupid. It didn't need to be in the movie at all.
Yeah, that sucked.
But they had to do it because it's a Batman movie. Not really, but... Interestingly, this is, like, the fourth movie where Batman's parents died in. Like, Batman parents have overtaken Uncle Ben as, you know, dying in so many movies.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, so... They're the new world record holders, so congrats to them, Batman's parents. They've died in more movies than in more origin stories than any other comic book character, so good job for them. So I'm sure we'll get another one. Like, I can't wait for, because they're making another Batman movie, right?
And yeah,
it's rebooting the whole franchise. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for Batman's parents to die again in that movie, because we gotta see it.
Just over and over again. I mean, there's nothing even different you
can do. In the exact same way. It's not like they change it. It's like, nope, you've seen this scene a dozen times. Guess what? You're seeing it again. Slightly different context, but you're seeing it again. So that's the thing I absolutely hated about it. I did not need that. There it is. Do you want your second trivia question?
Yes, sure.
All right. This trivia category is... history, and I'm going to preface it, it's ancient history, so
okay,
what lifeline would you like?
I'll use Monty Hall for this one.
Okay. Are you familiar with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon?
I know that that's the ship in the Matrix.
I knew you were going to say that. He was the king of Babylon. He was like, okay, in the Bible.
If you say so.
Something. You know that's the ship of the Matrix. Yeah, I hear you say that. I mean, that's why. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon. He had a psychological condition that caused him to believe he was a what? A horse, a dog, a cow, or an owl?
Hmm. Is this true?
Yeah, it is. Isn't it wild?
This is crazy. How'd he get to be king with that kind of weird...
I think he developed it while he was king.
Okay.
Like, one day he decided he was gonna be a horse or a dog or a cow.
Look, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, just sit down.
I mean, how do you... like, say no to that, though. Like, he's the king, right? He, like, starts acting like a horse, and you're like, what do we do about that? And you're like, there's nothing we can do. He's the king of Babylon. He'll kill you if you, you know, if you go against him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you gotta just kind of accept it. And if he asks for hay, you just, like, give it to him, you know? Just, like, leave him be. Let him do his thing, you know?
Yeah, I really like that origin story. Did he have a son?
I don't know.
What a great idea for a show. So like his son is coming up into power and stuff, and his dad starts believing that he's a horse, and the son just has to keep shit together.
But he can't like overthrow his dad because he's still the king, and he has his supporters, so he has to like kind of play the field. There's a lot of like politics going on. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, but with a king that thinks he's a horse. So, yeah. I mean, I think we should write that. You know, I think that could be picked up by Netflix or something.
That sounds really funny.
It's called, like, The Horse King or something.
I want Kumail Nanjiani to be the son.
And his dad is...
Bruce Willis for some reason or something. Like,
it doesn't
I don't
make
know.
Any sense in any way. Yeah, it's called The Horse King, which is a really good title. It sounds like a real book too, like The Horse King, doesn't it?
If you told me that Nebuchadnezzar means horse king in Arabic, I would believe you.
Mm. Well, it might not mean horse king. It can mean dog king, cow king, or owl king too. So
true.
What out of those? Are you going to use your thing?
I'm probably going to use Monty Hall, but I don't know which one to choose. I mean, it could be anything. It
could.
I think it might be Owl, because that's the most similar to The Matrix.
What does that have to do with anything? But
they would have picked the one that was the coolest, and the owl is the coolest animal on the list.
So you're saying it can't be cow, because that's the lamest of all the animals.
They wouldn't have picked Nebuchadnezzar to be the ship's name if he thought he was a cow. That's so lame. But if he thought he was an owl, that's like,
it's like
mysterious.
Oh, got it. Oh, that's so cool. All right. This is good logic. Because owls are cool and supposedly smart and stuff. All right, so you're going to, are you going to lock like a Monty Hall in for that?
Probably. Or, what was it? Dog, horse, cow,
horse,
owl?
Horse, dog, cow, owl. So you want to do the one that you don't think is to lock it in.
Yeah. I don't think he thought he was a cow. I'll lock in a cow.
Okay. So it's either cow or owl. Final. Yeah.
No.
What?
I don't know. I don't think... Are there even owls in... Like Babylon, that's like Iraq or something.
Are there cows? I don't know. I don't know what animals were there in ancient times.
I'll pick owl, final answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Owl's incorrect. It's cow.
Damn it. He thought he was a cow.
So the Matrix doesn't make any sense now, does it? Does it?
Maybe they didn't know when they wrote the script. Maybe they were just
they
like
just thought
that's a
Nebuchadnezzar
cool name.
Is a really cool name, and they're like, "That's so badass. Let's name a ship after that." No, I know why they did it. It's because Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible is one of the kings that like Jesus or Moses or somebody—I don't remember—somebody goes up to him and analyzes his dreams because he's had these really weird dreams. This is after he gets over the cow thing,
okay?
And he has these really weird dreams, so he like analyzes his dreams. And so the Matrix named it after Nebuchadnezzar because he was like the king of dreams. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a lot cooler than the king of cows, you know?
It is. But little known fact, he was also the king of cows. And afterwards, he became the king of dreams.
He got better.
He moved up like quite a bit on the cool scale there. Like, used to be the cow king. Now he's the dream king. Way cooler name. But you know, what are you going to do? So... Yeah, man. I do like the screenplay idea, though, for Horse King. I would change it to be horse, because I think horse is a funnier animal to pretend that you are, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, it wouldn't be Nebuchadnezzar, and you could just go with the whole... He has, like, a slow descent into being a horse. Like, he starts out just kind of neighing a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe he starts doing that thing with they do with their hooves, where they, like, kick up the... The terrain or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he starts, like, eating hay. And then he starts, like, doing that, like, weird horse sneeze thing that they do where they're like... Yeah. And then Kumail's over there and he's like, Dad, are you okay? And he's, like, not talking. He's just like... And then he's like... He's like, something's wrong with Dad, but I can't do anything. And there's, like, this important, like, war going on. So they, like, can't... show that their king is weak, you know, because you can't have that. You know?
Yeah,
so they have
but the king wants to ride into battle.
Yes. And he, but he's a horse already, though. So
yeah.
He's like, he like tries to do it on all fours. And there would be one scene where the king meets with some other king, but he's like full horse mode.
Yeah.
So they have to like pretend that he's like, ill or something, or I don't know. They could do like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of deal with him. I don't know how they would do that, but these things can come. The Horse King show, you know. Sounds like an Amazon Prime kind of deal.
Yeah. But it sounds good.
It does.
I would like, when he returns back to his normal self, Kumail has gotten like a taste of power and now he wants to kill his dad.
Oh, that's season two, you when know. It gets really dark.
Yeah. You
know? And then it's like a revenge story almost. That's cool. There's another topic I wanted to talk about. I don't have any really good segue for this.
What did you want to talk about?
It was about, I sent this link to you. It was about this old website from the early 2000s that was all about Celine Dion, dreams about Celine Dion that people had that they would send into this one website. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really bizarre site because it was very specific. The site was, we collect dreams people had about Celine Dion and we you know, categorize them and have them displayed on this website, which is very bizarre and niche. And as I was reading this article, I was like, this is something that could only have happened between 1998 and 2005.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a very specific year kind of cutoff for those kind of websites. And I realized that we don't have anything like that today. And I kind of like those sites though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of missing those and I miss them. So
I know. Really do. Do you know how you would find that site in the days of the old internet?
Web rings, probably. I don't know why. How would you do it?
I was just about to say, in the early internet, there was no such thing as corporations advertising. The right. only advertisements were for other websites that you would probably be interested in because they were friends with whatever.
But it wasn't like an advertising on. For money thing. It was like, hey, my friend has this other cool website that you might be interested in, kind of thing. Like an affiliate yeah. program, they called mm-hmm. it or whatever. Yeah,
web rings. And you know, you would be on the Celine Dion fan page that probably has like MIDIs of her songs that would go like doo 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 yep. doo doo, and there's like the MIDI horn like burr, 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 burr.
That would be her voice or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the bottom there'd be a link to the dream site and you'd be like, right. "Oh, this is interesting." And you'd click over there and then
then you click on it, and holy shit, there's like 2 years worth of hundreds of Celine Dion dreams that people have been sending in.
And we don't really have anything so niche anymore. I was thinking about this, because, like, this is bizarre, right? Like, having a dream about Celine Dion and Googling on the internet and finding there's a whole entire website dedicated to that.
Yeah.
Nothing like that exists today. Like, I could not... Like, I'm sure that it wasn't as broad as, like, there existed a Celine Dion dream website for every category of weird thing. But, like, at the same time, like, I could not have a weird thought like that today, Google it, and find a site dedicated to that phenomenon.
Yeah.
What I would find is a Reddit page, maybe, or a forum post from 2008 from some other site, you know what I mean? I would not find a dedicated thing about this, not even close.
And what you would probably have to do is, you know, you just search Celine Dion on Twitter, and you just have to settle for things that aren't dreams.
Yeah, and settle for things that are on Twitter, too. And I was reading this article, and the end of the article got into this whole... The internet used to be so much more niche and weird. And I was reading about it, and it was saying something about how we have more fans on the internet than we used to. Like, we have more fandom on the internet. But it's a lot more scattershot. Like, it's all over the place now. It's not in any one particular place. Like, you used to go on the internet, and I remember back when boy bands were a thing, people would have, like, entire websites just dedicated to that band. Or Celine Dion is a good example. Or a very specific single video game or single movie, like Fight Club, had a whole website that people, like, would talk about fan theories about and stuff. The X-Files, you know what I mean? Like, there'd be very specific places you could go to, like, read about the fandom you're part of. Whereas today, it's just everywhere. And it's so decentralized that it's impossible for someone to find it when they want to. You know what I mean? It's kind of just something you see as it kind of goes by. Like, you're on Twitter scrolling. Oh, someone's talking about The Walking Dead. Oh, someone's talking about Watchmen. Oh, someone's talking about blah, blah, blah. Fine. But when you want to read about that stuff and it's not scrolling by, you have no idea where the hell it is because it's decentralized. And that's kind of sad, you know?
It is.
To me. Because sometimes you really want to talk about it or meet other people that have are really invested in it. But the only place you can do that is Twitter. And you have to just wait for the right time when that's part of the Twitter discourse at the moment, you know?
Yeah. If it's something old, you're probably just not going to get to talk to anyone about it.
Yeah, and if it's old, you're not going to get a chance.
There's not a running conversation about, you know, old science fiction book or old anime series
and,
or something.
And
like
you know,
that.
There might be a running conversation on Twitter between like two random people, but you're never going to see it. You'll never be able to join it because you'll never be able to find it. You know.
And if you did see it, it would be weird if you joined
in. It would be weird, and I think that is the thing that's sad to me. That like, it probably people are talking about this somewhere on the internet, but not only can you not find it. But even if you did find it, it'd be weird for you to contribute to the topic. And that's the sad part. Because back in the old days, I was part of a bunch of web rings and all these different really random, like, interests. And I was completely comfortable just jumping in and being like, jumping into the comment section and be like, blah, 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 you know. And now it just feels weird to do that because those comment sections don't exist. And now they're Twitter and they're Facebook and they're Reddit. And it feels weird to do it.
This is a related thought I had. So back on these old sites where maybe 10 to 20 people posted on them with really niche interests, there was something really specific about people's posts. There would always be like a, here's a video thread, here's a random image thread, here's a, and the posts on those pages, no one would ever have context with them.
What do you mean context?
So if you see a funny picture on Twitter today, all of them have a caption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the person posting the picture has to put their words in it. Mm-hmm. Back, and, you know, that caption is what tells you, you know, you're supposed to laugh, or you're supposed to think it's cool, or you're supposed to think it's relevant, or whatever.
Sure.
Back on these old sites, when you would post something like that, you would never include context because the fact that it's in that niche community was like context enough, if that makes sense.
Yes, because you're posting it about this thing because you're on this specific site.
Or like, you know what? Everybody here is so cool. The fact that it's here is in itself, like, it justifies itself as being cool enough, you know?
So you don't have to add context because the context is already kind of there, baked into the site.
Baked into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's something I miss a lot.
Not like having like a common, like almost a common understanding between people of a website. Because they're just like, they're all on the same page.
Yeah, like whereas we're all on, the same here. You
whereas
know?
On Twitter, even if you were talking on Twitter, like I don't know what the context of your conversation is because it's Twitter. It's everything it goes. You know what I mean? So like, I have no idea what the context is. Whereas if I saw you on a forum that was dedicated to late 50s movies, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more context there, you know, so.
Okay, everybody's all on the same page. This is something that's really hard to explain well, but it's something that I think about all the time. Because I miss those really niche communities.
There's some left, and it's mostly old people, and I'm on as anytime I find one, even if I'm not interested in the community, I just join it, because I'm interested in these.
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, an old audio engineering forum on the internet that I'm registered on, and it's just
shout it out.
Talking.
What's the website?
It's called Steve Hoffman Forums or something like that. Okay. It's an audio engineering forum, and they also talk about music a lot. And it's just very, the context is you like audio and you like music a lot. And that's, but it's a very specific type and like decades of that, you know what I mean? And they all like analog technology and stuff. And like, it feels like an old internet site, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
It does.
Because it's very specific in what they do. And I just like joined it because I was like, this is cool. Because people, it's very specific. It's extremely specific. And whenever I find like a forum like that, because forums just don't exist very often anymore. Whenever I find a forum like that, I just join it. Because I'm just like, this is interesting. This is cool.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I could shout out is, so there's a pretty active English-speaking sumo wrestling fan community on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Within the past few years, NHK, that Japanese broadcasting public TV thing, has started putting an English stream out there for sumo wrestling.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a growing English-speaking sumo community that follows it.
That's amazing. Yeah. So are you? Is it like a forum or whatever? There.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you a member?
Yeah.
What is it called? So I can look it up.
It's like sumo. I don't know the name of the forums actually.
Sumo
but...
something. We'll link it after this.
That's okay.
Cool. Do they only talk about sumo stuff, or do they have like a general chat too?
It's mostly off topic. They don't talk. That's great. I mean...
It's great. That's cool though, because back to your context thing, it's mostly on off topic, but. The context is this is a sumo forum. So they probably make, like, dumb sumo jokes in the off-topic forum. Absolutely. That, like, you just have to know about sumo stuff to get it. And that's why that's so cool to me. Because they've found a community that they have a commonality. Whereas social media today, there's nothing in common between everyone. Because literally, it's about everything all at once. And it's, like, completely meaningless. But
yeah. No culture.
No, we have no culture. The internet is a cultureless void, a hellscape. Are you ready for your last and final trivia question?
Yes.
All right, this is a true or false, so I'm not going to give you any lifelines. The word soccer comes from the abbreviation of the word association. True or false?
Association?
The word soccer comes from the abbreviation of the word association. True or false, yeah?
That can't be true. Is that even how it's spelled? One second. It's not even close.
Let me remind you that you are currently 0-2. Like, you have not gotten a single question right. So, you're really riding on this one to have a positive score on this episode.
Soccer?
Soccer. There's
three letters are right.
What three? Oh, you mean there's a sock in the middle of association?
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
There isn't any more to that? It's not like the football association or something?
Well, okay. I mean, yeah.
Isn't it an abbreviation for like football association, though, is what I'm asking? Or is it just association?
Yeah, there's a... Yeah. Yeah, the football. I don't remember what it's called. It's like the something football association. But they use the word association to make the word soccer, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
You're starting to think about, like, is this a question Chris would invent? Because it doesn't make it. It makes so little sense that it has to be true. That's where your logic is right now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like, I don't think you could make this.
Oh, maybe I couldn't. I don't know. That's so funny.
So soccer?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, screw it. I'm going to go with true. It is. It's an abbreviation.
You're going with true?
Yeah.
Final answer?
Final answer.
You're correct. That's true. Yes.
It is. I don't believe it, but
it's like the football association, and I was reading it and people were like, they started abbreviating it to be like asos, and then they were like associ because it's funnier, and then they're like soci, and then it was like socky, and then it became soccer. Like, there was this whole line of of nicknames until they arrived at soccer. So
that's some cool etymology.
Language is some weird stuff, let me tell you that right now. What are you gonna do? Do you want to do some Reddits before we quit for the show?
Sure.
Do you have any really good ones that you've been rearing to go for?
This one was asked by Ben Likes Jazz. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
When someone tells you a man walks into a bar joke, you picture the same bar each time. What does your bar look like?
I do picture the same bar each time. Yeah. I'll tell you my bar. It's very woody. Like, it's a very wooden bar. Like, it looks like something like a British pub. You know what I mean? With, like, stools on the bar. Like, near the bar. And there's, like, some booths. You know? And it's, like, all wood. And there's, like, one bartender. And
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, when he walks into the bar, is he walking through saloon doors? or regular doors?
I don't know. I don't really think of the doors. But interestingly, I always think of the bar in this very specific perspective where it's like if I'm watching a movie, the door is always on the left and the bar is always like the bar where they serve the drinks is always on the right. And then the middle, you have some tables and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, weird. Mine is reversed. Really? Mine is the door is on the left.
Wait, what?
Wait, no. The bartender is on the left, I think.
Oh, really? So the door's on the right.
Yeah.
So your perspective is opposite.
That's if you're bizarre. Reading a book, yes. The man walking into the bar is going backwards. If you're reading. So he's going left. Traveling left.
So he's coming from the right side of the frame, traveling left. Yeah, in mine he's coming from the left side and traveling right.
Weird.
I wonder if that tells us something about like our psyche or something like that. Like a dream analysis thing, you know? I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar would have something to say about this.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's always left and right. But what does your bar look like?
Mine is also very woody. You know when there's a gap in the bar and there's a thing that can go across it and it flips up and down?
Yes.
So the bartender is leaning. He's leaning on that.
Okay, mine doesn't have a gap. I mean, it probably does, but like I don't imagine the flippery thing. But
it's not in vision.
Yeah, it's not in my vision. But I can totally like the type of bar that I'm thinking of probably has that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does your bar have stools or is it chairs or what? Or is it like?
Yeah, it's stools and there's a metal like footrest rail on the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have.
But the metal. It's dark rails. Wood, very woody. Kind of dirty.
Yeah. Huh. It's a very interesting bar. We both have very similar bars. They're both like pub-like, you know? I don't know why. You know that bar we went to like 3 days in a row when we went to Minneapolis?
Yes.
It kind of looks like that bar.
Yeah, same with mine.
It's very woody, you know? It's like a pub. But I definitely had this bar in my head before that. Have you always had this image, or has it been different? Has it changed?
It hasn't changed.
This is an interesting topic, not just for bars, but I feel like there's like this, because like this, walk into a bar is a universal kind of joke setup, and it gives you a mental image that's different for everyone, obviously, but there's probably more things like the bar that everyone has like a different, you know what I mean, like mental image of. I don't know what, I can't give you an example, but I just know that it exists, you know?
Yeah. That's something I'm going to start asking people. Like, that would be a good first date question. Like, a guy walks into a bar, which way did he walk?
Oh, you know? You were talking about...
I wasn't. We're not talking about this.
Damn it! That is a good first date question, though. All right, we're not talking about this. It's fine. You should use that on your next date. Guy walks into the bar, what does the bar look like for you? And then they'll think you're like really deep and like psychological or whatever, you know?
Like you're totally like, expecting wow, you're a smart. Joke there, but it turns out to be like, whoa.
You like want to get to know them as a person, like it's telling about their personality. Yeah. This is a tough question. This is an advice question. It comes from Tenno. If someone asks me for someone else's number, should I give it to them or should I ask them first? You should definitely ask them first, I would think. What's your take on that, though?
If I think the other two people know each other, I'm just going to give it to them.
But what if they met once, but they're not, like, friends yet?
Is this in a professional setting?
No. We're going to call this a personal setting.
Okay, then no.
Okay, then no.
I wouldn't give it to them.
Like, we're talking about, I mean, maybe it's a dating setting. You know, it's like a romantical setting, possibly. Then you should definitely ask.
Definitely not.
But if it's a work setting, maybe it would be fine. I have a weird one.
Let's do the weird one.
Does this book even exist? At this point, I'm starting to think I hallucinated this book. When I was in elementary school or something, I read this book and I can only remember parts of it. One part is where the main kid goes to the bathroom and thinks he has zits, but it is just his older sister's popped ones or something. The other part is where I'm wondering if it was all a dream. It was so weird. Like, this kid is lactose intolerant, and I think he was on stage ready to fight a big cheese monster. IDK man. I keep remembering it, and I have no idea if it even existed in the first place. Help me out.
I don't remember that book.
That does not seem like a real book. I'm going to say that that is a fever dream that this person had in elementary school and imagined it being a book. That's my take on this question. I didn't even read this one beforehand. I just thought the question
That makes me
was
think
weird.
Of something kind of interesting, what? Though. Have you ever read a book where the author put a quote at the front of the book and it wasn't, like, from a real book?
Yes, but don't they usually do that when it's a quote from some character in the book?
Yeah, like, I don't know if Lord of the Rings does this, but as an example, if at the beginning of Lord of the Rings, there's an elvish quote from, like, the elvish Bible or something.
Sure.
That would be an example.
Yeah, I think I've read a book like that. I guess I like that. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
I kind of like that. It kind of lore.
It kind of feels like the book is written not as a piece of fiction, right? It's like a, almost like a, this is an account of this true thing that happened. You know what I mean? Like, if we go to Lord of the Rings as an example, it feels more like a true thing that happened or whatever. But yeah.
Have you heard of Dean Koontz?
Yeah, of course I've heard of Dean Koontz.
At the beginning of most of his books, there's a quote from this book called The Book of Counted Sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a real book.
Really? So he just makes up a new quote every time?
From the Book of Counted Sorrows.
That isn't a real book.
He's written like 100 books. I used to read his books when I was younger.
I've never heard of this. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's not a real book.
Now, has he wrote this book before?
Last I checked, he has not written the Book of Counted Sorrows. But
that is so cool. I love it.
A quote from that fictional book is at the beginning of almost all of his books.
So he's basically making a new quote every time he writes a book, and it's from this fictional book.
Yeah.
That is really cool. I like
Dean Koontz really cool.
a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like his books. Well, I feel like I read one and it was okay. But I think that is the coolest thing ever. Yeah.
They're just kind of like cheesy horror books, you know.
But
fun,
that is so cool. But that's a fictional really cool. book that you made yeah. that isn't real, that you quote from, that doesn't have any relation to, like, the did, like, the characters in the book ever quote it or whatever?
No, it's just a quote at the
that's
that he has
so cool.
before you start.
God, how did you find out that this wasn't a real book?
Well, when I was younger, I used to read, you know, a lot of Dean Koontz books, and I would always see, oh, from the Book of Counted Sorrows.
Like,
he really,
I really
likes
need to
that
see
book.
This book, yeah.
I need to check this out, and like, I search for it. It doesn't exist. It's not a real book.
That's so neat. Man. Sometimes I want to be a writer just so I could do stupid shit like that. You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not a good writer. I don't really have a lot of good story ideas. Well, maybe I do, but I can't really formulate them into a good, you know, whatever narrative. But I have a lot of dumb ideas like that. Like, I'm full of stupid ideas like the Book of Canon Sorrows. I'm overflowing with ideas like that, you know? And that's just cool. I just think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I love that. More people should do stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you have any more Reddits? Oh, we had a listener question.
Let's do it.
Our listener question last week, we missed it. It's from Spitfire. Thank you, Spitfire. Sorry, we missed your question. It's kind of weird. It says, he says, best Metallica sound created, but I think he meant sound, song or sound bite, like to be used in a movie. So, like, what's your favorite Metallica song is the question.
It's Master of Puppets is good.
That's such a pedestrian choice. No, I'm just kidding. It is good. It is a good choice. That's like the Empire Strikes Back of Metallica songs to like.
It is. I have a reason, though. Like, a kind of a sentimental reason.
Okay, tell me.
It's one of my mom's favorite songs.
Oh.
And we went and saw Metallica together, and she, like, freaked out when they played that song. I was like, okay.
That is cool. All right.
I can like
cool.
that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I wasn't making fun of you. I was just, you know, I was just teasing you.
I know. Poems.
No, that's good. I like one. I don't know. I like a lot of Metallica songs. I'm going to go with one, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, there it is. That's it. That was the whole question.
If you want to know what my favorite sound is, like from a movie or a song or anything, it's gotta be in The Last Jedi when the Emperor like does the Kamehameha wave up into the sky.
You mean the Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. Yeah. Rise of Skywalker, rather.
And it goes...
That's a cool sound.
It's like... Rah! Wait, no, I can't even boom, do it. Boom, 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 boom. It's like... It's like as if lightning struck, but then the audio equipment they were recording the lightning failed. Yeah. But not all the way. You know, like it dropped a channel or something.
Yeah.
And then it was just like...
Yeah. There's like a crash, and then there's a ba-voom. Like now, a low,
let me ask deep... If you were to meet the sound guy on The Last Jedi or The Rise of Skywalker, would you pick his brain about how he made that sound effect or she made that sound effect?
I'd love to know, yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever, did you ever consider a job as a sound person?
I've definitely Googled things like sound designer salary.
And
it is. I'm going to stay put.
I like how you didn't Google, like, how do I get into sound design? You were like, no, I'm just going to skip all that. Sound designer salary. And then you're like, what are we talking about here? And you're like, nope, never mind.
I was at a point in my life where it's like, okay, I have to be able to survive, you know? Yeah. So if they don't make enough to live, which I'm sorry, most of them don't. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably so cool that a lot of people want to do it. So they work for, like, Chump Change.
Yeah,
it sounds like a really cool job, though, doesn't it?
It does. Being
a sound person, especially the kind of ones that, like, now they use a lot of like software these days, but back in like the 70s and 80s, they made sounds using like objects and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
What they were called? I don't remember. There is like a name for them, but they would go into a room and they would just like bang objects together, and they would get the sounds that they needed for the movie or whatever. And that to me just sounds like so fun and interesting, you know, to like just do that. Like, I want to say the original Star Wars blaster sound was made by like hitting what do they call those metal slinky? Hitting a slinky with like a tuning fork or something like that. Oh, and it makes like a doo doo sound, you know? So, like, I don't know, dumb shit like that. Sounds like a fun job, but yeah, it probably doesn't pay like anything, but no fun jobs do, I don't think. That's kind of the point of fun jobs, right?
Yeah. World sucks. What are you going to do?
It does. Do you have any more Reddits? We have like 2 minutes left. Oh, no. If you don't have another one, it's okay.
This was asked by all of you very much. Thanks, all of you very much.
I love you too very much. Okay.
What's your style when you board an airplane? Do you introduce yourself and get ready to chat? Mm-hmm. Or do you avoid eye contact and stay silent?
Avoid eye contact and stay silent. 100%. What about you?
Me too.
This is our sponsor today, Bad Stacks.
Our sponsor today is Red Lemon. Rehydrating sports beverage.
When you're feeling like something sour with your rehydrating sports beverages, choose Red Lemon. It sounds like no one would drink that.
Sounds so gross.
Remember, when you're feeling tired, don't forget to... Oh, sorry, I cut you off. When you're feeling
don't
tired,
forget to be admired.
Be admired. Thank you, and good night, everyone. Drive safely. Bye.
Bye.